Praise God, you can never get enough. My first tape series when I first got saved in 1982, fall of 82, was a, how many tape? 12 tape series on faith. And I listened to that series over and over, and that's how I started off and being a Christian, and I'm telling you, it helped me so much, and I've never stopped learning and growing about the things of God, especially faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. So you can never hear too much about it. So we're going to spend the next 4 weeks in the Covenant Life series talking about faith. Tonight is the basics of faith. And we'll start off by talking about receiving what you need from God. God has already provided everything man will ever want or need. Complete provision for life is now available for every man. And that word provide or provision means to furnish or supply. I know we have some folks that have been in the military, in the service. When you were in the service, did you have to bring your own rifle and your own pack and your own clothes? And that was all provided for you. It was all supplied. It was furnished. Well, we're in God's army. We're in a better army. As good as the United States Marines and the Army and the Air Force and Navy, as good as they are, I'm telling you, God provides and furnishes His army much better. Amen? In my family, I furnish and supply my kids with a good place to live, clothes on their back, food, spending money, whatever they need. I provide it for them. I'm a good father. How much more do we have a loving and good father tonight that cares? We're His children. He cares about every need, every desire that we have, and He wants to meet that need. So just so we know that. Look in Romans 8. This will really show you the heart of God, how much He wants to meet our needs. You have to know that. In order for you to be a person of faith, you have to know that God is for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants you to have things. God wants you to have abundance. Romans 8, verse 32. Well, let's read 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The biggest thing in the whole universe that God could have given us was His Son Jesus. He gave Him freely. It was the best thing He could have ever given us. Everything else is secondary. Life itself, provision, food, clothing, house, car, relationships, kids, parents, all this is all secondary to this. And so if He would give us His Son, He'll give us everything else. Everything else that you need in life is covered here. So God is for you. He wants to provide for you. He's a good, loving Father. God instituted the process of faith whereby man could tap into everything God has provided for him. Maybe in your yard, you're interested in putting in a sprinkler system, and there's a main line that the water comes in to your house. And if you want to hook up that sprinkler system, what do? You tap into that line. Is that correct? And you tap into that water line, and it'll supply your sprinkler system. Well, that's the same thing that faith is. Faith is tapping in to God's supply system. That's all it is in the simplest terms. It's tapping in. God's got a provision system, a provision cycle. And so what we're learning here tonight, and in times we're hearing about faith and living by faith, is how to tap into God's blessing cycle, His provision cycle. Not only did God make complete provision for man, He also gave man as a free gift the faith that man needed to receive it all. If we were all here in a class, we're in the preschool class, and they started the class off by giving us all some Play-Doh to play with, and they give it to each one of us, and now we can all do different things. There are some of us that are going to make hopefully something beautiful out of that Play-Doh. Others aren't going to use it or develop it, but we all have it. And it's the same thing when you're born again. God has given you faith. He's given to everybody a measure of faith. It's up to us to work it, to develop it, and to use it to make something beautiful, to make life good in our lives. So you've been given. And again, everybody here, I know you're born again. You're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. When, the moment that you were saved, faith came. Faith, a measure of faith, was given to you. Now we have to develop it and we have to use it. All right, let's talk about the faith model. Look in Romans chapter 10. You ought to have Romans 10 memorized by now, right? It's about every service, every time we get together, we refer to Romans 10. Here is the faith model. Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, underline believes, under righteousness, and with the mouth, confession, underline confession, is made unto salvation. This is the faith model. This is the faith system. This is the basis of faith. This is how faith works. And if you notice, they have various lines. If you confess blank, and in this particular scripture it said salvation, but whatever in your life, if you confess whatever with your mouth and believe whatever in your heart, you shall have whatever you believe and confess. It's as simple as that. That is what faith is. And this is what we need to understand, and this is what we need to learn how to operate. There is a process to faith. There is a process of getting something out of God's pile, God's supply, God's provision, God's storehouse. There's a process of getting something out of God's supply pile into our pile, and that's what we call faith. Now, in the church here, we have what we call a purchase order system. Now, many of you maybe have a business background, or maybe weren't in a corporation that used the purchase order system. But basically what that is when someone wants to order something, they fill out a purchase order. And they put on there what they want, the quantity they want, and how much it's going to cost, and put it on this form. And they give it to their supervisor or give it to whoever, the person that's going to approve it. And then if the person who approves it looks it over, everything's right, and the resources are there, the person will sign it. That is their approval to purchase something. Correct? Does everybody understand that? A purchase order? Well, it's the same thing with faith. The faith is a purchase order system. You're making a requisition to God of what you need. And if everything lines up, if everything's right, everything is in order, God's going to sign off on it, and that is going to be sent from heaven, and it's going to come to you. Now, when I'm looking at a purchase order, I'm looking at a lot of different things. Does it fit with what we're doing right now? Do we have the resources? Is it the right timing? There's a lot of factors that go into me looking at something before I sign it. And so the person signing it has to know my will, has to have some understanding of how things operate here in the church in order to get something approved. God's given us His will. He's given us His will in all the different areas. And if we'll have an understanding of this, we can make a requisition. You can know how to make a requisition and get what it is you need. The more you understand this, the more you understand this system, the more you understand God and how He works, the easier it is to get something out of God's pile into your pile. And the thing about it, God's wanting it to be in your pile. He's wanting it, desperately wanting to get it to you. One of the things that we have to learn how the model, we have to learn how the system works in order to tap in. Amen? Okay. Remember the scripture in 1 John 5? If you ask according to whose will? If you ask according to God's will. What does the Bible say? He hears us. Isn't that good to know? You're always going to be safe in your prayer life if you pray according to the Word. You're going to make a connection. You're going to tap in. Just like that pipe's hooking up to the water supply. You're going to tap in when you're praying and you're believing and you're asking according to God's Word. You're making a connection with God. Amen? All right, receiving salvation is the initial work of faith in man's life. The complete life provision God made for man is included in the salvation package. Whole denominations have been built around salvation, that the only part of salvation that we can understand and walk in is going to heaven when we die. But I'm telling you tonight, the moment you were saved, a whole entire package, and praise God, salvation is going to heaven. Praise God, all of us are going to heaven when we die. Hallelujah. Spend eternity forever. This life is just a vapor. It is so short, but we'll live forever with God, with Jesus. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God has so much more. And if it was just that, that'd be wonderful. But He has so much more for us here on the earth. He wants to bless us more than we can imagine. Ephesians 3:20, super abundantly, more than we can ask or think. That's our God. That's His desire for us. So we have to understand this package, this benefit package that we have. Each benefit of salvation is received the same way salvation is. All right, faith comes to man as he hears God's word. You're right there in Romans 10. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And I was going to tell you, how can you call on God? How can you? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've been given the measure of faith when you were born again, when you were saved. But now, as you hear faith, each time you hear God's word, that faith is being developed. That faith is being strengthened. God loaded his word with the faith man needs to receive his provision. This word, when this word is preached, when this word is confessed, when this word is listened to, the words contain something. The words contain life. The words contain power. The words contain healing. The words contain whatever you need. I like what the King James says. It's quick. You ever gotten a sliver? Or maybe a splinter. Sliver is a Minnesota thing. Splinter? You know what that is now? Or you had someone prick your finger when you're giving blood? I mean, don't you feel something? Does it hurt a little bit? That's a quick. It's quickened. Well, it's the same thing. God's word is alive. It has energy in it. Hallelujah. And it'll produce something in you. It will develop faith. It'll add to your faith. It'll strengthen you. Hallelujah. So it's good to have a good church. It's good to go to a place where you can hear the word. I mean, God is so blessed us. We have tapes. We have videos. We have books. We have no excuses. We have no excuses to be 90-pound weaklings. Overrun by the devil. Hallelujah. We have every opportunity now. We can hear the word 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. Faith comes to man as he hears the word being preached. The faith in you is developing. It's growing. You're growing right now. Hallelujah. You're growing stronger. You're growing. And if you keep at it, you'll grow stronger and stronger. You know, there is a limit in the natural to how strong someone can be. If they work out, they eat right, they do all the proper things, there is a limit to how strong a man can be in the natural. But there is no limit in the spirit realm to how strong you can get spiritually. There is no boundaries. Hallelujah. And you can get stronger every day. You can be stronger every day until you live to be 120. Every day, getting stronger. If you'll continually hear and believe and act on the Word of God. As a man opens his heart to God's word, faith is planted in his heart. Did you know that? The Bible calls it the incorruptible seed. Seeds are going forth. And if you'll open up your heart, the scripture says in Mark 4 that it's soil. The word is going, it's being planted. It's incorruptible. It's going to produce a harvest in your life if you'll allow it to. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a good harvest. It's going to be a harvest of joy. It's going to be a harvest of peace. It's going to be a harvest of blessings. Every time those seeds are going forth. Hallelujah. When faith takes root and begins to grow, man begins to believe. Over by our house, there's what we call a green belt. It was a railroad track that North Augusta has made into a walking area. And when they built this railroad track, they dug out the earth, and so there's probably, I don't know, different places, 20, 30, maybe even 50 feet of ground on each side that they've dug out. And when you're walking on that green belt, you can look up, and there's trees that are right on the edge. And obviously, when you're looking at a tree in the ground, you can't see the root system. But I've looked at some of these trees, and I'm amazed how big that root is coming out from that tree. You know, and some trees that I saw, it was bigger than the trunk of the tree. Did you know that? I mean, sometimes, and some of them even double the size of the tree, the root system, and it just spreads out. And those trees are going to live long. Those trees are going to have a long, prosperous, healthy life if a root system is developed. Now, those other trees you look at, and they got scrawny roots. And I'll come walking by another time a couple weeks later, and that tree has fallen over. Why is it? Because the root system isn't strong. That's why it's so important, why we have like a 90-day guarantee. That's why we talk about the Word and hearing it over and over. That's what being a disciple is, constantly putting yourself in a place to hear the Word of God. That's why you're a student, always learning, always growing, always developing. And that's why we encourage people to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, every time the door is open. And if you're not here, get a tape. Constantly feed on the Word of God, and you're, you know, and if you could see yourself in the spirit realm, your root system is just growing. It's getting bigger. And when the storms of life come, and they will come, Jesus said in this world you will have tribulation, but when those storms come, you may waver a little bit, but you ain't going over. You're not falling down. You're not going to be a casualty. You're going to stand strong. I believe in this church we got a bunch of redwoods. They are just going to live and live and live, and nothing can penetrate through that bark. Hallelujah. We're tough. We're strong. Our roots are deep. We're planted. We're like, you know, when you build some of these skyscrapers and you look at them, you don't realize that they'll dig a hole 30 stories underneath that building to give it a foundation. Hallelujah. What kind of foundation do you have tonight? Is it built on sand or is it built on concrete? Is it built on the rock? Or is it built on sawdust? Hallelujah. All right. The word believe means to credit upon the authority or testimony of another. To be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another. To expect or hope with confidence. To trust. To have a firm persuasion of anything. Now, have you ever gone to the doctor and the doctor gave you a prescription? And if you have confidence in that doctor, don't you go and get that prescription filled. You're persuaded that what he wrote on that piece of paper, you don't really know what he's, you can't read his writing for one. But yet you'll go and get whatever, and you'll take it based on that doctor's word because you're persuaded, right? Or a lawyer. You go to a lawyer and a lawyer tells you to do, you need to do such and such. And you'll base your actions, you'll be persuaded. What they're telling you is the truth. You'll be persuaded so much, it'll cause you to act. Or a mechanic. Praise God. They tell you you need to have this and this done. You don't know, do you? You got to trust them. Let's pray for our mechanics in the area. Lord, help us. But how much more can we put our trust in God's Word? If we'll trust our doctor, or trust your lawyer, or trust your mechanic, how much more can we trust God? I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that it says in the back of our bills, in God we trust. Hallelujah. We trust in Him. But we can tell if you're fully persuaded or not by the way you talk, the way you act. Are you fully convinced that what God said in His Word is true? Do you believe it more than what's going on in your life? Do you believe it more than what people are saying around you? For faith to produce provision in man's life, it must so fill a man's heart that it bursts from his lips. Boy, what a line. Hallelujah. Whatever comes out of your mouth during a trial or a test will determine the outcome of that trial or test. What comes out of your mouth? God's Word, the problem, circumstances, what you can see, or God's Word? It's going to determine the outcome. I wrote this down here, and I really believe this. The whole battle between good and evil is over this little hole in your face. Some people it's bigger. But there's a great battle going on, because whoever has control of this in your life makes all the difference. God or the devil. And so there's a battle going on for it. And I'm hopefully we're all on God's side and we're going to use this because this is where the power is released. Man's heart agrees with the word he is hearing, and he dares to confess that word as the truth in his life. Matthew 18, 19 talks about agreement. But Matthew 18, 19 talks about two of you touching and agreeing. And in the Amplified, it says that if you touch and agree, if you harmonize, the scriptures say you make a symphony. Well, I got someone that you can agree with tonight if you don't have another person to agree with, King James. If you agree with King James and you'll come into agreement, it'll be done for you. Hallelujah. In case there ever comes a time you don't have a person, but your heart agrees with the word that you're hearing. Confess means to own. This is good now. Confess means to own, to acknowledge, to agree fully. That's one of the things we're trying to do here in the School for Life, is to get you to agree with God's word. If we can get you to agree with God's word, you are going to be a champion for God. You are going to do great things. The plan of God's going to be fulfilled in your life. Everywhere you go, you're going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. So to own, to acknowledge, to agree fully, to say the same thing. That's what a confession is. It has the connotation of a binding public declaration by which a legal relationship is contractually established. But I like that first one, own. You don't own it until you confess it. Confession will seal the deal. You can't own God's promises until you confess them and they become real to you. You can actually own something in the spirit realm. And when you own it, when it's yours, when it's in your possession, it will only be a short time before it will be manifested in this realm. But confession, believing and confession will lead to ownership. It'll become real to you. As the heart and mouth of man get into agreement concerning God's word, the faith they release will be able to receive anything God has provided. Now, we can apply the faith model as we went back there to the beginning. If you confess healing with your mouth and believe healing in your heart, you shall have healing. If you confess prosperity with your mouth and believe prosperity in your heart, you shall have prosperity. If you confess peace with your mouth and believe peace in your heart, you shall have peace. If you confess joy with your mouth and believe joy in your heart, you will have joy. And you can just go on and on down the list of whatever it is you desire, you want, and you need in your life. It's as simple. This is so simple. But this is the system. This is the model. Now let's talk about some faith lessons here from Jesus. Look over at Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 12. Now the next day when they had gone out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Here we have Jesus in this fig tree having this conversation here. But what happened when a fig tree, when the leaves come on a fig tree, the fruit comes with it. So even though it wasn't this season for whatever, this is a wacko fig tree here, and the leaves are growing. And so Jesus, when he came up with this fig tree, expected there to be fruit on that tree. And Jesus, you know, he's for fruit, he's for increase. And so he came up to that tree and it wasn't there. It was a deceptive tree. So what did he do? He cursed it. Now, imagine that. We got Jesus, the Son of God, talking to a tree. Now, if you went out in your neighborhood and you were walking around and you're walking by Steve's house and you saw Steve standing over by an oak tree talking to it, what would you think? Steve's a little strange. I always knew Steve was strange. Steve is talking to a tree. He's talking to a thing. You don't talk to trees. You talk to people. But Jesus is talking to a tree. He spoke to it. One translation says he responded. He responded to this tree. This tree spoke to him. This tree said something to him. And Jesus spoke back to it and he cursed it. Now, where do our dollar bills come from? Do we need to start talking to our trees? Now, that tree could represent anything natural. How about a car? Is that a natural thing? How about clothes? Is that a natural thing? How about airplanes? Are they natural things? How about buildings and houses and sheds and boats? All natural things. You can talk to them. In fact, you've already been doing it, but you've been cursing the wrong things. Going up to your car every time you see it, you piece of junk. You lousy car. I'm going to scrap you for junk one day. My brother, although he was saved, he didn't understand some of these things. And I'm telling you, he went through 6 cars before he finally learned to start talking and speaking good things over his car. I remember one day it was in Tulsa, and I was working at this restaurant, and Pat had just gotten this, I think it was a 67 Galaxy. Beautiful car. I mean, it was painted and beautiful engine, and everything was seemed new. I mean, the women are going, dear God. But it was a beautiful car. And I was out, you know, just taking a break, and I just went out to the parking lot and just kind of looked around, enjoying the nice night, cool breeze. And I look out in the road, and I see this tow truck pulling that car, and the front end is smashed. And sure enough, I go home that night, and there that car is sitting in the parking lot, piece of junk. He had to pay someone to come and get it. And I'm telling you, he had six cars like that. He just went through them. And finally, he realized, I'm going to start speaking good things over my car. That particular car, the brakes went out. Not only do you need to speak good things over your car, you need to quote Psalm 91. I've been redeemed from car problems. But I'm telling you, this is a principle from the scriptures. We need to use it. He cursed the fig tree. And Jesus and his followers passed it the next day and saw that it was dried up. Look at verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. The moment you speak words in faith, something's happened in the spirit realm. It's beginning to work. It's working. It's working. Whether you see anything or not, it's working. A chain reaction. Something's working for you. So it's important then to use this for your good. Are you speaking to your finances? Are you speaking good things over your kids and your marriage? What are you speaking over your job and over your boss and over the president, over this nation, over this city? Speaking God's word. You may not see it right away, but it will come to pass. It'll eventually come to pass and manifest. Verse 22. And so now Jesus is going to show us and explain the whole principle that just happened with the fig tree. He's going to explain to his disciples how this works. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in his words. Have faith in what God says. Have faith in his promises. For assuredly, truly, this is the truth. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, are you a whoever tonight? If you're born again, you're in the family of God, you're a whoever. He's talking about you here tonight. It's irregardless of age and how long you've been saved. Whoever says to this mountain, says to this problem, says to this whatever, be removed and be cast in the sea. And so if you can cast something into the sea, you can also call something. If you can cast something into the sea, you can also call something from God's pile into your life. In fact, you're doing that right now. Your life is an example of what you've been saying and what you've been calling. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Faith begins with a decision to put trust in God. Man must dare to speak to things. Again, this is easy, but it's hard. Everything in life is trying to get you, is going in the opposite flow of faith. This world system, the enemy's system, you know, it's like sometimes you're going against stream here. against the current. And so it is easy. The principles are so easy. But the reality of doing them on a consistent basis every day is it's a difficult thing. It's a hard thing. But we can do it and we must do it. When a man speaks to natural things, even the mountains of life, they will obey him. Hallelujah. It will obey you. He who speaks must not doubt. You must believe. You know, James talks about the double-minded man. You can't say one thing here and go out and do another thing or say something over here. You can't be talking health and healing over here and be talking the bad report over here. You can't be talking about prosperity and the blessings of God and just get out of your prayer time asking God for something and then talk over here how God never does anything for you. I'm always a failure. I always lose. Nothing ever seems to go right for me. It always works for them, but it doesn't work for me. That's being double-minded. That will not work. And so when you speak it, you must believe it. And that's why we're big here on confession, about saying God's word over and over, because the first time you confess it doesn't mean you believe it. That it's a process. He who speaks must not doubt in his heart. Men of faith believe that those things they say come to pass. He who speaks what he believes will have whatever he says. And you're having that in your life tonight. You may not like it, you may not believe it, but that's the truth. You are having in your life what you believe and what you say. That's the reality. That's the truth. The enemy will try to lie to you and just say, well, it's just my lot in life. It's the family that I'm born into. It's the neighborhood where I live. It's the color of my skin. I didn't have a college education or all these different reasons. But really, it gets down to this right here. Determines the quantity and the quality of your life. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you believe that you receive? Right when you pray. Don't pray unless you're in a position to believe. If you don't believe, then don't pray. Go to the Word, feed on the Word of God until you're in a position where you believe, then you pray. The moment of prayer is the moment man receives his provision. That's why our prayer time ought to be exciting. It's not a feeling. There's time you feel like you're really getting through to God. But if you're praying according to God's Word, every prayer time can be productive. Every time you pray, things can happen. Every time you pray, something can come from God's pile into your pile. Something you don't want in your pile, you can get out. Every time you pray. Hallelujah. If man waits until he sees the manifestation to believe that he has it, he will never have it. You will never have the blessings of God until you learn these things tonight. And it's just sad in the body of Christ. As you go around and meet people, there are so many frustrated Christians. They know that God is good. Well, many don't even know that He's good. But they know that He's good. But they're just frustrated why God's not doing things for them. It's not God's fault. It's not a problem with God. The problem is on our end. Somehow we're not tapping into the supply line. Maybe there's a clog in the line with one of our drains. There was a root, there was a clog, and he helped get that root out of there. And so now that drain's working properly. I think our faith pipe, so to speak, may be clogged. Doubt, unbelief, fear, lies of the enemy, various things clog that pipe. But if we can get that pipeline open, if we can tap in, the sky is the limit for what God will do in our lives. Now let's talk about the role of faith in man's life. Faith is a way of life. The way man receives what he needs from God. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 verse 38. Now the just or the righteous shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It says to live by faith. You might get tired of hearing about faith. But I'm telling you, we live our lives by faith. You know, there are certain skills necessary for someone to be a good football player. certain skills necessary for someone to be a good baseball player or if you want to be a great golfer. I heard Tiger Woods on TV the other day, and he was talking. His coach was on there, and they were interviewing him about why is he such a great golfer. He attributed his success in golf to going back to the basics, to the fundamentals. He has mastered the fundamentals. He's not looking for some new swing, some new far-out thing that no one's ever heard of before. He's just learned the basics and learned the basics and done them well. If you never hear a message on Revelations, and if you were just to feed on faith the rest of your life, you'd be doing okay. Because faith is the basics. Faith is the fundamentals. Living by faith. We live by faith. Did you know that tonight? You live your life by faith. By the things we're talking about tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read this to you in the Amplified version. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith is perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It's a fact. You know it. So faith gives substance to the provision for which man hopes for. Anybody ever here bought a car on payments? All the hands go up. When do you get your title deed? After you've paid all those payments. Maybe the 3-year plan, the 4-year plan, the 5-year plan. They even got the 6-year plan now. The 7-year plan. Woo! In just a little way, though, faith is like this. That there's payments to be made, and one day you're going to own it. But your payments are deposits of God's Word. But it's just like taking vitamins. You can't just take vitamins one day and hope you got it all taken care of. Wouldn't it be, you know, if they could have that one-day vitamin, I mean, one a year, I mean, that'd be something. But the key for it to work is to take it every day, is to be consistent. So if you've got something in the spirit realm you want to own, you're going to have to make payments. But I have good news for you tonight. It won't take you 7 years. Hallelujah. But God is the bank. He owns title to it. But there come a place in your faith walk as you keep putting the word in there. You keep confessing. You keep speaking it. You keep meditating on that word. There'll come a point when you own it. When we make a connection to God. This is what we call when you know that you know. When you know you have it. It's when you know it's a fact, that it's a done deal. You can know it's a done deal. In fact, you have to operate that way. It's a done deal before you actually see it. It was a done deal the day you made Jesus Christ the Lord, your Lord of your life, that you're going to heaven. I mean, you own that. You own your ticket to heaven. Hallelujah. And you know you have it. Have you seen heaven? You're going to see it. Praise God. But yet you believe you have it. In fact, you know you have it. We know that we know. And so it's the same thing over in other areas. You can get skilled in faith where you can know things. And I've had it happen to me since I was saved in 1982. Going back to some of the simplest things. Tuition at ORU. $8,000. I knew I had. I know there were some tough circumstances in there. Trials along the way. But I knew I had that tuition before I actually had the money in my hand. Remember the story about the faith furniture? The masking tape on the wall? Now, it wasn't the masking tape that brought the furniture in. It was faith. Faith produced. You know, we've used this illustration before. What hope does in your life. Hope is the blueprint. You may go, you want a driveway at your house, and you'll take the wood and you'll frame out your driveway, and you'll come and put the concrete or substance in that frame to make it a reality. Well, hope is the blueprint. Hope is what you see. Hope is seeing that whatever it is you're believing God for. And then the word comes in and it's filling up that hope. It's filling up that frame. And one day that concrete's going to dry and you're going to be able to dry and you're going to be able to drive your car on it. It's going to be a reality. But it takes some time. You got to frame it. You got to believe it. You got to see it on the inside. And we've said this over, but I'm just going to say it again. We'll just repeat. Talked about my parents having land in Montana. And they had a title deed for it. It was an inheritance. They had a piece of paper that said legally they have these acres, hundreds, whatever, thousands of acres in Montana. And you know, they had that for 15 years and they never went out and saw it. They paid taxes on it. They received checks from, there were some oil wells and different things and royalties, and they received a rent from ranchers that were doing some things on that land. But they never went out to that land. They believed in that title deed. They believed that it was theirs, and they lived their lives like it was theirs because they had the title deed. Hallelujah. We can have that same confidence and same trust based on God's word in different areas of your life. It'll actually be a title deed. And that's why I like to write things down. When I'm ready to believe God for something, I'll write it down. I'll have my scriptures. I'll date it and I'll time it. Or, you know, the time that I believed. Anytime the enemy comes at me, got my title deed here. It's already done. I'm not touching that in my thought life. I'm not worrying about this. Devil, I'm not giving this another. It's already done. You might as well just give up. Might as well just go home because it's done. Me and my Father were in agreement. Me and the Word of God were in agreement. It's a done thing. I know it. I've got my title deed right here. Hallelujah. Faith is the evidence. Hallelujah. Evidence. Glory to God. Confidence, a title deed that man has received, that which he cannot see. Faith will give man a good testimony. You want to have an exciting, adventurous life? Live by faith. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've been on a ride since 1982. It hasn't always been easy, but I tell you, it's always been fun. It's been an adventure. That's why Susie married me. She wanted an adventure. So she looked around at all those students and said, oh, are you? Which of these guys can give me a life full of adventure? It's that Matt Judd. It's the guy who used to fall asleep in the class. The man has got all his possessions in one army duffel bag. Got to start somewhere. I could lose everything I have, but I know how to get it all back. The same way I got it in the first time. Hallelujah. Verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Man can set his world in order with his words. A frame is something you use to construct. Talk about framing a house. It's the guts of the house. It's the structure. You frame the structure of your life. You frame your life by your words. You build your life with your words. Faith words, hopefully faith words. All right, let's talk about faith. We'll wrap things up. Faith in the five natural senses. Faith operates in the realm of the unseen, talking about a spirit realm. You do know there's a spirit realm, don't you? There is a spirit realm that is more real than this natural realm that we live in, where we can feel and smell and hear. And that's the natural realm. But there's another realm. It's two realms working together at the same time. And it's a spirit realm, and it's a real realm. Faith operates in the realm of the unseen. God used faith to create this seen world from an unseen world. Go back to Genesis 1. God believed. God had hope. And he filled that plan with faith. And there came a place where God saw the world. God saw the universe. And he spoke into existence the earth and all the things on the earth and the universe. He said, light be, and light was, and light is still going. The galaxy is still expanding right now at 180 miles per second. 186, what is it? 886,000 miles per second. Hallelujah. Just because of what he spoke. What does Ephesians 5:1 say? Be imitators of him. Mimic our Father. When I was getting ready this morning, did everybody see my son whose suit today? He wanted that suit. His daddy wears a suit. He's going to wear a suit. Very dapper, wasn't he? But I was using deodorant today. Aren't you glad your pastor uses deodorant? Hallelujah. He wanted to use deodorant. And I used cologne today. You say praise God for that because you know, I sweat a lot. And so I have to use something to counterbalance things. If I use this cologne, it'll balance things out. But I used cologne today, and they lined up for their cologne today. So I sprayed a little on my hands, and I went like this. And they were happy. And so I did it harder the second time. He wants to mimic his Father. Well, this is our Father. He framed his world. We need to frame and build and construct our world and be like him. Men of faith never wait until they see something to say they have it. Look over in John 20. This is the master now. This is Jesus talking here. John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I'll have to see it to believe it. Basically what he's saying. And after it, and Jesus said he was coming back. He told the disciples he's coming back. Jesus told Thomas, was one of them, he told him that. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, Jesus came to the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is faith. To be able to believe it before you can see it. Believe it before you can touch it. Believe it before you can smell it or hear it or see it. Before your senses say you have it. This is what faith is. And it's a struggle between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. How would you like to be known through all of history as Doubting Thomas? Doubting Thomas. That's his label. Because he would not believe before he saw it. Faith is believing. It's believing something is real before it's manifested, before it's revealed to the senses. I want to be known as Believing Matt. Hallelujah. Believing Claudia. Believing Gary. Faith Man Billy. Name it, claim it, Sean. We're blessed. We have joy. And when problems come, who are they going to call? Not Ghostbusters, Faith Busters. Or Devil Busters, how's that? Because faith is a spiritual force, its work cannot be detected by the natural senses. Don't check with your senses to see if you have it. Your senses are fickle, up and down. Your senses will lie to you. Your senses are in this natural realm, and it's going by this natural realm to determine whether you have it. Don't go by that. Now, faith is not blind. It just sees something doubt and unbelief do not. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, talking about this natural realm, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That word temporary means subject to change. Subject to change. So some of these things you're going through, You just start speaking to them and say, this is temporary. This is temporary. I'm not denying the fact that this thing is real. This pain is real. I'm just denying its right to be in my body. Faith is not denying. That chair is not there. That chair is not there. And you're going to convince yourself that chair is not there. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not denying the existence that there's a problem. It's denying its right to be in your life. That problem, that situation must obey you. So it's temporary, subject to change. Glory to God. In the spirit realm, God's word, it never changes. It's eternal. It's forever. Faith in the unchanging word of God will change any natural circumstance. To partake of what God has provided, man must walk by faith and not by sight. We must learn these things we're talking about tonight, to live by faith. We must train ourselves. And I'm telling you tonight, the faith life is the most exciting life. The faith life is the best life. It's the most adventure you'll ever want to have. But I want to close with this tonight. It started for me in the faith life. After I began to hear these tapes about faith and getting into God's word and reading God's word, it started about me. Faith for me started about believing God for things for me. You know, the furniture or the tuition or a ride or all our money that I need to go on a trip. All those. That's how it started with me years ago. But I want you to know that's where I'm not there now. I'm focused on using my faith for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. That same faith that I used for furniture, I'm now using for buses. I'm now using for a radio station and radio equipment and TV equipment and buildings and land. And I'm using it to win souls, 4,500 souls this year, over 10,000. I'm using my faith now for disciples to be made. It's the same faith I used. I've just developed it now. And as you develop it, the things that you believe God for get bigger. So I don't know where you may be just believing for yourself right now. That's okay. I'm telling you, it's going to get exciting when you start getting the big picture of what God's trying to do. Start hooking your faith up with my faith here in the church, or hooking your faith up with what God's doing, his plan for the earth. And then it's really going to get exciting. This life is not about us. My life is just not about Susie and I and our four kids. It's about reaching the world. That's why I'm interested in how to live by faith. It helps me in my personal life. God has blessed me in my personal life. God has been good to my family. God has blessed my family. But it carries over into this ministry. God has blessed this ministry. God has blessed this church. And God is just starting in what he wants to do here. So that's why, the scriptures say faith works by love. We're not about just stuff and things for ourselves. He wants you blessed. But when it comes to using our faith to fulfill this mission here, blessing our world with the power of the good news, we're blessed to be a blessing. Using our faith, as it says in Mark 16, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Using our faith to pray for somebody in need, and they don't know how to tap in. They don't know how to make a connection. But using our faith, we can hook up to God for them. We had someone this morning after the service. They had went up, I believe it was New York, and they were going up. Their mother was sick, 78 years old, and she was ready to go to heaven. And this particular person was the only believer in the family. And when you go into that kind of a situation, there's just a lot of chaos and a lot of problems, and people are fighting about inheritances and all these different things. There's a lot of problems that can go with a situation like this. But I'm telling you, this sister and I, we agreed before we went. We caught hands and we agreed. And we agreed that God would use this to touch family members, that the glory of God would be in this situation, that God would turn anything bad around. I got the report today. Three people got saved, two family members and a family friend. And that started 2 months ago when we came into agreement before she went up there. Hallelujah. And there's no distance in prayer. You can pray the prayer of faith here and help some missionary over in Africa or some family member. The Spirit of God can lay it on your heart to pray for somebody, and you got faith in God's Word, and you know what God's will, and you work with God. You can cause something to change. You can cause a miracle to happen. Hallelujah. Because of your words. Faith-filled words. Words full of faith can change any circumstance, any situation.